Hello, Ramblings magazine reader. Welcome. This is a podcast of the 9th issue of Ramblings magazine. The headings are A Life of Work. Friends are a gift of life. I have been so blessed. Just a mere mortal. Springtime. Memories. Favorite relative. First job. I really should have. September 11th memories. First year of retirement. 5 days in Wyoming. Gives us a break how to spend your stimulus check. To much and to little. I agree. I am ready for spring. Letter to me. My father. Life-changing moments. How microwave ovens saved my life. Retirement ramblings. Germany and England. Cold snow and ice. Summer vacation. Optimistic about accomplishment. Mustache, beard, or clean shaven. Weather memory. My grandma Schuler.
A Life of Work WordPress. Substack May 29, 2024. This was not a job but is what I did to earn some extra money. During the summer when I was in middle school, I caught and sold night crawlers for the local sporting goods store. The owner told me he would take all I could catch. He paid me $100 and then sold it for $2. I would drop off the night crawlers on Thursday and the anglers would buy them for the weekend. I would average about $1,000 a week and that was $10 a week. The only expense I had was flashlight batteries. If I remember correctly, I would earn about $200 to $300 for the summer. That was a lot of money in the 50s. My next job was part-time at the public library while going to high school. I was a library page, which is code for a do whatever was necessary. The most interesting job was running the elevator on Saturdays. The elevator was automatic, but the crowds were large, and they overwhelmed the automatic system. Another job was they had a basement and sub-basement where books were stored. They would receive an order and they had pages in the basement where they would retrieve the books and put them on a lift that carried them up to the upper floors. After graduating, I started working for a government contractor that was building the Titan ICBM for the government. I was a teletype operator in the purchasing department. Unfortunately, the job was on the swing shift. So much for my nightlife. 3.5 years later, I received the letter stating, "Your friends and neighbors have selected you to become a member of the United States military." For the next 2 years, I was in the army. I was fortunate enough to go to Germany instead of Vietnam. I then had 2 years of active reserve and then 2 years of inactive reserve. Then my military obligation was over. After my 2 years of active duty, I returned to the aerospace contractor because there was a law that they had to hire me back since returning from military service. A year later, I was laid off. They just hired me back to fulfill their legal obligation to have a job for me after military service. I then started working for a large electronics manufacturer in the consumer electronics industry. First, I was an assistant buyer, then a buyer, and then became a department manager. This career lasted for over 20 years and was the highest paying position in my working period. After a purchase of the company a year later, the company buyer decided to close 13 distribution warehouses across the nation, and here, I was 46 years of age and without a job. During that time, the unemployment rate was 8%. Try to tell me there is not age discrimination happening. Working in part-time and temporary positions for 4 years, I finally get a full-time job in a high-tech position where lasers were used to cut close tolerance components used in the solid-state electronics field. This was a field that was totally new to me. I started as a temp, and it worked into a full-time position. Tell me a positive attitude and hard work is not the way to go. This continued for 13 years and then I decided it was time to retire and have been retired now over 15 years. Now, every day is Saturday. After retiring, I decided to give writing a try and this is where I am now. I have posted over 200 articles on WordPress and having fun doing it. Most of my articles are about experiences in my life. I am not doing this for money, I am just doing it because I enjoy reminiscing and sharing events in my life. Friends are gifts in life. WordPress May 30th, 2024. As I recall the friends I had when growing up until my senior years, I try to think of what they had in common. Most friends come from encounters at school, neighbors, work, church, and so on. Friendships develop from conversations and encounters. Many do not develop into anything, and others grow in a friendship that becomes a gift of life. The quality that I value the most is, a friend allows me to be myself and I allow them to be themselves. Once you are allowed to be yourselves, the union will become stronger and memorable to be remembered throughout the remaining time in your life. I have been so blessed. June 3rd, 2024 WordPress. As I reflect on my life, I have concluded that I have been so blessed. Compared to millions of others, my life has been easy. I was born into a loving family. My parents loved me and protected, fed, and taught me in my young years. I fell on a broken bottle and seriously cut my arm from the wrist to the elbow. It was a blessing that the main artery was not severed. If it was, I more than likely would have bled out at that young age. I elected not to continue on to college after high school when many said without a college degree you will not experience the American dream. I have been blessed with a comfortable, financially stable life. I do not have millions, but I have more than enough to sustain the American dream. I was drafted into the army during the Vietnam era. I was blessed to spend my enlistment in Germany, whereas the seven I was drafted with went to Vietnam. I did not have to suffer the pain and violence of armed conflict. I became married, and the blessing of two great children was generated from this relationship. Unfortunately, one must experience hurt and pain in parts of their lives. This relationship came to an end after 11 years. However, we are now able to talk to each other. The hurt and anger has been shelved, and that is another blessing. I was blessed with another loving relationship, and this brought me four stepchildren, which I truly love their mother and her children. We are still together and enjoying and spending our final days together. Trust and allowing each other to be themselves is a gift and a blessing to experience. A little over a year ago, I experienced a life-threatening medical issue. There was a point where I thought I was taking my last breath. I thought, "Here I am, Lord." I believe, for a short period of time, I had a preview of time after death. I experienced such peace during that time, it was unexplainable. This was a time I will never forget. I am ready to experience this peace again. In conclusion, as you can see that I have experienced more blessings than hurt and pain. I thank the Lord many times for the blessings I have received. I am just a mere mortal, but I firmly believe that time after death is going to surprise everyone. Just a mere mortal. June 9th, 2024 WordPress. As the days and years go by, I have come to the conclusion that I am just a mere mortal. Am I going to do anything or write anything that leaves a lasting impression on this world? I kind of doubt it. I have had a good life experience. I was raised by loving parents and did not have to suffer any hardships and tragedies in my growing up years. I was able to work and provide for the two sons I fathered. I served my country with time in the army. Marriage and family life have entered my life twice. I am still experiencing my second marital journey. Over 18 years of retirement life, and I sense more years of this journey on this earth. Over a year ago, I survived a medical near-death experience. During the recuperation period, I thought that there must have been a reason for surviving. It has been over a year now, and I am still searching for the reason. I am beginning to think the only reason I survived was to experience and learn from that near-death encounter. With that said, I am just a mere mortal and will do what mere mortals do, and that is to attempt to live a good life. Springtime. June 11th, 2024 WordPress. After months of cold and snow for months, the time of the best part of the year is finally here. Yes, I am talking about springtime. Winters have become hard on me since I have been retired. I do not like being cooped up in the home listening to the furnace coming on many times and for long periods. Leaving me wonder how much the utility bill is going to be this month. Ever since I have been on blood thinner medication, I am always cold. Looking out the window and seeing all the dormant leafless trees is depressing. The wind blowing and watching the snow swirl makes me feel very glad that I am inside instead of being outside going to work. Then, as usual, the weather starts to warm up, the residual snow piles begin to melt, and the days become longer. Spring is here. The trees start to leaf out. The grass starts to green up. You can see the springtime flowers blossoming, and you do not have to deal with below freezing temperatures. The cure for my big time cabin fever is here. God is good. Memoirs. June 12th, 2024 WordPress. At the time being, I am passionate about writing my tales and stories from my 80 plus years of living on this planet. There is a driving force in me that I cannot explain that keeps telling me to put the stories and tales in words. I have become passionate about this project. I spend many hours writing and composing. I wake up in the middle of the night with a prompt about a new rambling. Then I spend an hour or more thinking on assembling and composing it. I am watching TV and think about what I could write about the subject being broadcast. I guess I am hooked. When I retired in 2006, I started writing. Before then, I was too busy working, raising a family, and solving everyday problems one encounters. I joined a writing group, and we would meet once a month, write for an hour and then share our stories and offer suggestions. In 2018 I decided it was time to stop going since my writing interests were declining. Around 2006 I also opened up a WordPress account and published quite often. However, that interest declined after a period. After my near-death event about 15 months ago, I dusted off WordPress and started writing and publishing tales and ramblings about anything. This has created Ramblings Magazine https://tomt2.com/about-d-t2-0. I decided a magazine format would work out better for me. One may ask, why a magazine instead of a book? A book could take a long time to compose, and I am at the point where I may have 20 more years or 20 more minutes. Only time will tell. In conclusion, my passion is writing today and will continue until I am no longer able to. Favorite relative, March 31, 2011, writing group. The relative that immediately came to mind was my uncle Mike Schuler. Mike lived in Meeker, Colorado with his wife Ruth and their three children, Bobby, Marvin, and Patty. I didn't see him that much, but we would travel to Meeker for a visit. The trip was nice, going over Loveland Pass, driving to Glenwood Springs, Rifle, and then on to Meeker. At the time when we did this, it took about 5 or 6 hours to make the trip. Normally we would start in the morning and would usually eat lunch in Rifle, Colorado. After lunch it would take about another hour to travel to Meeker. Meeker was a small town, I would say less than 1,000 residents. Just being in a small town was an experience compared to the city of Denver. It was so quiet after 8 in the evening and you sure could see the stars in the sky. We used to find the constellations in the sky, the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, and other ones that I can't remember at the time. We never saw any UFOs though, and during the 50s that was a big thing. Mike worked for the state of Colorado on road maintenance. He drove a big D8 Caterpillar tractor and he would let me ride on the Cat when we were visiting. That was a blast and I really enjoyed the adventure riding above those giant metal tracks with that gigantic diesel engine roaring while the blade was pushing around the dirt. I wonder what OSHA would say about that today? I am sure it would be frowned on now. How times have changed. Mike and his family lived in a log cabin in Meeker. I guess you would call it a livable cabin, not the kind you see in Western movies. It had running water, a kitchen, bathroom, and all the conveniences one would have in the city. I do remember though they did not leave the hot water heater on at night. Every morning Mike would go down to the basement and light the hot water heater and it would take about 30 minutes for the water to heat up. During that time Ruth, Mike's wife, would fix breakfast and the hot water would be ready for the time to wash the breakfast dishes. I don't know why they didn't leave the hot water heater on. If I remember correctly, the cabin was heated by propane. I resemble my uncle Mike. He was tall and slim like me and many of the facial features were the same. You sure could tell we were related. Maybe that is why Uncle Mike has left so many fond memories for me. Uncle Mike really enjoyed teasing. In fact, he made an art of it. You never knew when he was serious or not. Maybe I picked up that trait from him. I remember one time Mike and his family came to Denver so that he could have cataract surgery. After surgery we went to visit him in the hospital. At that time you stayed in the hospital for a week or more. I remember him lying in bed with sandbags positioned on both sides of his head so that he could not move his head, and at that time he was in a terrific amount of pain. During those days they did not have implants and Mike was forced to wear big thick glasses the rest of his life. At that time I hoped that I would never have to experience cataract surgery. Today I have endured the replacement of 2 cataracts and my fear of what my uncle went through never came to pass. It is amazing the medical advances made in the last 25 or so years. Another event I remember was one weekend we went up to visit and one of their kids had a Daffy Duck record. This was before vinyl. What did they call that stuff? Anyway, we played that record time and time again. After a period of time we abruptly stopped playing it. Well, we broke the record and didn't tell anyone until Ruth commented on the next visit that she discovered why we stopped playing that Daffy Duck record. She wasn't mad or irritated or anything. She said she was tired of hearing the record anyway. Naturally, my mother used the opportunity to instill on us that we should inform people if we broke some of their property. First job, April 28, 2011, writing group. My first job was a library page at the Denver Public Library. This job lasted, I think, 2 or 3 years. If I remember correctly, I got the job in my sophomore year of high school and worked the job through my senior year. If it weren't for my brother, I would not have the job. He also worked at the library when he was going to Regis College. He knew the job was available and set up the appointment with the personnel department for me. What a simple application I had to fill out. I had no education, no job experience, and just a reference from my brother. I think I was a shoo-in. The job was originally for the summer months, and then I qualified to become a part-time worker for the school semester times. As I said before, that I kept that job throughout my high school years. West High School is located at 10th and LODST. After school was over, I would then walk to the main library, which is located at 14th and Acoma ST. It would take about 15 minutes to make that walk. The walk was not bad unless the weather did not cooperate. Also, it was only 3 times a week and on Saturday. Before I was able to drive, my parents would pick me up at 9 o'clock since they did not want me to have to take the bus home at that hour. There are times you just don't realize what your parents did for you while you were growing up. You just expected them to be there when needed. The job was simple tasks. We would spend time putting books away, cutting up paper into small segments they used for book requests. The library was laid out where the pages would sit in the center of the building, and on the 4 directions there would be a counter where the librarians would sit to help the patrons. In the center there also was a book lift that the books would come up from the basement and sub-basement, and one of the pages' function was to deliver these books to the respective counters for patrons. One of the functions I hated was that each counter had one of those stupid little tinkle bells, and they would ring it if they needed help. I always had a difficult time hearing that little quiet bell, and the librarians would get mad and think I was screwing off when I didn't come running at their little command. Oh well, I didn't get fired. All in all, I got along with most of the librarians. However, many had the disposition of a typical librarian you hear about. This would be an older single never married woman that hated the world because she never was married. Saturdays was a busy day for the library. It used to open at 9 a.m. and the patrons would come in like a swarm of ants. If you have ever seen those furniture ads where thousands are waiting to get in when the doors open, this was a typical day. Then by 3 o'clock the crowds would thin out and the last couple of hours would be back to normal. Since Saturday was a busy day, the automatic elevator would get overwhelmed and they would have one of the pages operate the elevator so that the 4 floors would get equal service. I enjoyed operating the elevator. This was my first experience with power. The patrons went where I took them. Since the library was just across the street from Civic Center, I can share many strange events. On summer day there was this man laying in the shade and was there for a long period of time. Finally someone went to check on him and they found out he had died. I remember the body laying there under the blanket until the coroner came. This reminds me of another event that happened across the street. A policeman made a traffic stop and the policeman went to the squad car to call for identification check, and the suspect took his life when the policeman was in the patrol car. Again, I remember the body behind the steering wheel covered up, waiting for the crime scene to be cleaned up. One summer there was a large invasion of grasshoppers. They would congregate by the wall of the library and there were literally millions. The sidewalk sure got messy from the people stepping on those crunchy messy grasshoppers. Homeless people and drifters were also a problem. If you happened to walk through Civic Center during your lunch hour, you would always get hit up for a donation. "Hey buddy, you got a dime?" During the cold days they would come into the library to keep warm. Many times they would be sitting there and would fall asleep and fall off the chair. Don't get me wrong, there was good times at the library. I just don't remember them at the present time. Give me a little time and I make this story not sound so gruesome. I really should have July 28, 2011 writing group. The first thing that came to mind was when I was in the army and my tour was coming to an end. I am not saying I really should have, but I really gave it some serious thought. Should I have re-enlisted in the army? That is a question I have always had throughout my life. If I had, I am sure my life would have been much differently than the one I experienced. Sure, I was drafted and only entered the army because I had to. However, life in the army was not that bad in Germany. I grew up in the army and the army gave me many experiences of life and human nature that I more than likely would not have experienced in day-to-day life. I was single with no long-term commitment to come back to. The main reason I did not was because that I knew that I would have to go to Vietnam, and always in the back of my mind was, would I be able to take another's human being's life? I even wondered about that when I was in Germany. I guess the only way you find out is when you are put into the situation. On occasion I feel guilty about not going to Vietnam. I was drafted with 7 other guys from Denver and I was the only one that did not have to serve in Vietnam. Many times I think, how did I get out of those horrible experiences of war, death, and violence? I have heard many horrible tales about Vietnam. I knew a friend that was a second lieutenant in an Army Ranger Battalion reconnaissance platoon. He told me most of his time was spent in Cambodia. This was one of those facts that were kept from the American public. In the 11 months he was in Vietnam, he lost 54 men under his command until he was wounded and sent back to the States. This man was one of the walking war casualties until he finally asked for help. In his treatment, the doctors highly recommended that he talk about his experiences instead of attempting to keep it in. I guess that is why he was so willing to share his tales of pain with me. Listening to Emily speak about that World War II vet not saying anything about his experience until near his end makes one wonder how many are out there that needs to express their pain. If I did re-enlist into the army, I may have not survived and I wouldn't be sitting here writing about, I really should have. Sept 11th Memories, August 25, 2011 Writing Group. It was a warm sunny day that day. I was working swing shift at that time and I would usually get up around 7:30 in the morning. My routine was to get up, have a bite to eat and then turn on the TV to see what is happening in the world. When I turned on the TV, the first plane had already struck the first tower and the announcers were trying to speculate if this was just a horrible accident. I remember the look on Katie Couric's face when the possibility of another plane had struck the other tower. At the time the channel was showing the burning first tower and I saw the second plane go behind the burning tower and saw the explosion and fire from the plane hitting the second tower. I was speechless, and didn't know what to think. That second plane going across the TV screen and striking the second tower will be embedded in my memory for life. In addition to this, at a later time I found out that my oldest son was on a business trip and he was in Boston on September 11th and had plane reservations to leave from Boston to Denver a couple of hours after the 9/11 plane left Boston. The possibilities of this tragedy being closer to home than it was could have been a real reality. He was so close to possibly being on a plane the terrorists could have picked instead of the ones they selected. Another thing I remember of that fateful day is the lack of contrails in the sky later in the day. As a part of my routine, I would take a walk around the Greenbelt near our home. During a normal day you could look up in the sky and see high-altitude jets flying across the sky leaving the contrails behind them. Sometimes you could see 2, 3, and maybe even 5 jet contrails at one time. With all the air traffic grounded, there was none that day. Since 9/11 I do not like to travel by air. The security screening has become a serious irritation for me. In one respect, one could say the terrorists have won. In my opinion, TSA needs a big dose of common sense. There have been too many instances where they have left common sense at the front door and done stupid and aggravating things. Back in 1999, Dee and I took a trip to Italy. When we were going through the Italian airport, there was a group of Italian soldiers looking at individuals in the departing passengers. The question was asked, "What are they doing?" The guide said they are profiling the crowd. However, profiling is not allowed in the USA. That same trip when we landed in New York City at customs, Dee's 85-year-old mother was picked out of the crowd and her luggage was searched for illegal items. It seemed to me that they could have picked someone more obvious than 85-year-old women. Luckily, all the illegal drugs, weapons and nuclear secrets were in my luggage. I got away with another caper. Therefore, even before September 11th, common sense appears to have been lacking. Maybe they didn't have any common sense before September 11th and 9/11 just brought this fact to the surface. 9/11 has changed our way of life. We have lost many freedoms. First Year of Retirement, published September 2nd, 2007, yourhub.com. The sky is blue, the sunsets are beautiful, and the roses smell terrific. I didn't notice these luxuries a year ago. When I was working, I didn't take the time for the simple beauty of life. 1 year has passed since I retired in September of last year. Do I enjoy retirement? Yes, I do. Retirement has been a blessing for me. This is part of the American dream: work most of your life and then enjoy the fruits of your labor. It feels good to see that Social Security and pension payments appear in your banking account every month. Investments are generating a good return. Yes, I am living the American dream. Since I have retired, many people have asked me the question, "What do you do now that you are retired?" As if you are supposed to do something. My most often response is, recuperating from the last 45 years. I was tired. The first 90 days I did very little. No, I didn't lie in bed all day, but I took it easy and started to adjust to a slower and more relaxed lifestyle. Now, what I don't get done today, I can finish tomorrow. Every day is Saturday. That means I don't have anything I have to do or any place I must be. My typical morning starts around 6 to 7 a.m. No, I don't sleep in. I try to keep regular hours. I usually go to bed around the same time and rise around the same time. I still enjoy fooling around with the stock market, and the market opens at 7:30 a.m. Denver time. When I get up at the above time, this gives me time to get my cup of coffee, look for some hot stock prospects and start watching them when the market opens at 7:30. If the market condition satisfies me, I look for an ideal time to purchase or sell a stock. However, lately the market has been too volatile for me, so I am just holding until the market calms down. The condition of the market depends on what I do until 2:30 p.m. when the market closes. Retiring has given me many opportunities to do things I have been putting off either because I just didn't have the time or just too tired to do them. This summer I removed 20 feet of sidewalk I wanted to remove for many years. I put up a fence between my property in the front and my neighbor's front yard. I have been digging up sod all summer. This is one of those projects, what you don't get done today, you can work on tomorrow, or the next day, or next week. I have become more involved in community functions now. I attend neighborhood association meetings and have attended the commander's meeting at District 4 Police Headquarters. This involvement has given me a better idea of the happenings in my neighborhood. That is how I became aware of the Ruby Hill Tower issue that will more than likely be resolved September 10th by the Denver City Council. Last fall I joined a small writers group at a church in Lakewood. I have always had an interest in writing, however, I never took the time or had the time to cultivate that desire. Now that I am retired, I have the time to cultivate that interest. The Ruby Hill Tower issues and this small writing group were the catalyst that prompted me to return to yourhub.com. This is a perfect medium to get the word out and expose your efforts to an audience. The hard part is to get that audience to read your efforts. This does beat putting your efforts into a file cabinet or hard drive and no one ever reads them. At least you have exposed your works to a lively and well audience. My retirement has had its downsides. One of the big downsides was last winter's unusually large snowfall. It kept me inside more than I wanted to stay inside. I am an outdoors person, and that snowfall sure hampered my activities, and I was getting a bad case of cabin fever. There was a time when I questioned my decision to retire. However, spring came, and I was able to get out into the sunshine and fresh air, and my attitude turned around 100%. Now that I am going on my second year of retirement, have I completed everything that I have planned on doing? I am far from running out of things to do. I still have lots of plans for our yard. I still like to fool around with computers and their components. I have thousands of digital photos I want to catalog and organize. My garage still needs a major cleanup and organization plan. I am always faced with the projects my wife thinks of. It will be many years before I finish the projects I have. I am sure, as time goes by, I will continue to add new projects and interests to fill my retirement years. The only thing that can change the entire environment of retirement is health. I have been very fortunate with my health, and I attempt to live a healthy life by periodic health exams, eat in moderation and exercise regularly. I try not to think about ill health. It is a part of life, and when it strikes me, I will attempt to deal with it. In conclusion, do I have any recommendations for an active, healthy retirement? Sure, I do. Keep your mind active. I enjoy Sudoku. This game keeps the cobwebs out of my brain. I am a member of Silver Sneakers and go to Englewood Recreation Center to walk my mile and bicycle my 5 miles at least 3 times a week. I feel better and sleep heavier since I have taken up this exercise program. Englewood Recreation Center has many types of physical fitness equipment, so you can design your own activity program. Attempt to have a financial plan. If you are broke, retirement will not be fun. There are many other forms of entertainment other than television. Enjoy television as a last resort. I have been enjoying the Rockies games lately. However, I just watch if nothing else is going on. Finally, be positive, be active, and be happy. 5 Days in Wyoming, published July 1, 2008, yourhub.com. It was 4:30 in the morning on June 26. I was wide awake, I could not sleep, I was to wound up contemplating the trip to Seminole State Park in Wyoming, 30 miles north of Sinclair, Wyoming, 250 miles from Denver. I rented a 25-foot RV the previous day. It sure looked big. I am not used to driving anything that big. I am sure it is going to cost a bundle to feed this gas hog. There goes my stimulus check. We finally departed around 8:30 in the morning. The plan was to follow my stepdaughter and her family's trailer. At Laramie, Wyoming, I had to stop and go tinkle, and they did not know we stopped. This caused a little concern for them since they did not realize we had to stop, and I lost cell phone service just north of Fort Collins. We arrived at the campsite about an hour after they did because we also stopped at Sinclair to fuel up and had a bite to eat. They were sure glad to see us because they did not know what happened, and as you know, your mind always thinks of the worst. Anyway, we arrived around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Does the wind always blow in Wyoming? There were about 11 different parties of families and friends. We just kind of took over this one camping area since that was all the sites available. There is a quiet time regulation from 10 p.m. to 6 in the morning. However, the warden said since we were one big happy family that regulation could be set aside for our stay. One of the enjoyable events of the trip was the bonfire every night with laughing music and loud talking. Some of the younger ones went on until late into the night. During the day, time was spent down by the water, boat riding, eating, and many power naps. The party had two boats, and another brought a jet ski. We saw an antelope go up a draw about 50 yards away from the campsite. It must be an open range because two gigantic bulls paid us a visit during our stay. They did not look very friendly at all. The mosquitoes didn't bother me. They were busy attacking my wife. She received about 8 bites. It was nice to get away. The $900 rental for the RV and the $250 for fuel were worth it to me. You must be reckless with your money sometimes. I would prefer to rent a RV instead of buying one and have it set in the driveway for 48 weeks out of the year and watch it depreciate. The best part of the trip was the family and friends getting together and laughing and talking. Will we do it again? You bet we will. How to spend your stimulus rebate. Published May 21, 2008, yourhub.com. We received our stimulus rebate. That's $1,200 for the two of us. Wow. I wasn't quite sure if we qualified for it because I didn't work in 2007. The only income we received was from pensions, Social Security, interest, and dividends. Now we must be good Americans and rush out and spend it. What do we spend it on? We could go up to Black Hawk and blow it on the slots. I hear their revenue is off this year. I would feel better if I just took the money and threw it out on the streets. I was looking at the new LCD HD TVs. Our 27-inch TV works fine. What would we do with our perfectly good TV? I just had to buy a new computer in February. Therefore, I don't need a new computer. Oh. I could give the money to the political party of my choice. Then they could tell us how bad this country is or how good we should feel. Maybe I should hang on to it in case the IRS determines that a mistake was made, and we should not have received the rebate and want the money back. That happened to me once in my taxpaying history. What should we do? I then received this in an email and now I am really confused. How to use your IRS rebate check. 1. If we spend that money at Walmart, all the money will go to China. 2. If we spend it on gasoline, it will go to the Arabs. 3. If we purchase a computer, it will go to India. 4. If we purchase fruits and vegetables, it will go to Honduras and Guatemala. 5. If we purchase a good car, it will go to Japan. 6. If we purchase useless stuff, it will go to Taiwan, and none of it will help the American economy. We need to keep that money here in America. The only way to keep that money here at home is to spend it at yard sales. Those are the only businesses left owned by Americans. Too much and too little. February 23, 2012 Writing Group. How much is too much and how much is too little? All my life I have heard you have too much stuff or you have too little. The first thing that comes to mind is, who are they to set the standard for me? Saying that I have too much makes me feel that they are trying to make me feel guilty for the stuff I have, whether I earned it or not. This also goes for the statement that I don't do enough and I should feel guilty because the standard set by them exceeds where I am. Many times, I feel the ones that make these accusations are more concerned about what I do than what example they are setting forth. One example that really bothers me is the wealth and material items displayed at the Vatican. And time and time I have heard that Americans are way too materialistic and need to become more realistic in their material thoughts. How about if they would sell all this gold and wealth and help the poor and indigent more than what they do? This rant can also apply to the American government also. What could actually be done if there was not so much waste and special interest money spent to fill private pockets? The question I have is, how much of that $15 trillion debt we have has lined the pockets of special interest groups and individuals? Here I go rant and raving, which is making me angrier all the time. I agree your hub date unknown. I receive many emails with pictures, sayings, videos, and I normally glance at them and then delete. I have lost millions of dollars because I did not forward to my closest friends, and I have bad luck bestowed on me because I did not forward. However, this one caught my eye. I don't know whether it is true, or if this happened to Bill Gates. I am just passing it on because I agree. Bill Gates, love him or hate him, he sure hits the nail on the head with this. To anyone with kids, here's some advice. Bill Gates recently gave a speech at a high school about 11 things they did not and will not learn in school. He talks about how feel-good, politically correct teachings created a generation of kids with no concept of reality and how this concept set them up for failure in the real world. Rule 1, life is not fair, get used to it. Rule 2, the world won't care about your self-esteem. The world will expect you to accomplish something before you feel good about yourself. Rule 3, you will not make $60,000 a year right out of high school. You won't be a vice president with a car phone until you earn both. Rule 4, if you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. Rule 5, flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity. Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping, they called it opportunity. Rule 6, if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault, so don't whine about your mistakes, learn from them. Rule 7, before you were born, your parents weren't as boring as they are now. They got that way from paying your bills, cleaning your clothes and listening to you talk about how cool you thought you were. So, before you save the rainforest from the parasites of your parents' generation, try Delo using the closet in your own room. Rule 8, your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. In some schools, they have abolished failing grades, and they'll give you as many times as you want to get the right answer. This doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. Rule 9, life is not divided into semesters. You don't get summers off and very few employers are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time. Rule 10, television is not real life. In real life people must leave the coffee shop and go to work. Rule 11, be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one. I'm ready for spring. Published April 7, 2008. Yourhub.com. I got up this morning and what did I see on the grass? A layer of snow. This is getting old. I am ready for spring. The snow melted before 9 o'clock, but it was there. It was cloudy and gloomy most of the morning. Around 10:30 I looked out and it was snowing again. This time the flakes were large, big fluffy ones about the size of nickels. I thought, how much is it going to snow? Is this the spring snow everyone regrets? 10 minutes later the snow is over. Good old Colorado weather, you never know what is in store with the weather. The sun came out around noon, but the temperature never really became very comfortable. I want to be outside. I am tired of being cooped up in the house. It is time for me to start working outside in the yard and absorbing that nice warm sunshine. I need my fix of outside spring weather. Late this afternoon I ventured outside and noticed that the lilac bushes are ready for spring. A few warm days and the lilac bushes will be filled with new green leaves. They are ready for spring. The tulips are up waiting for the warm days of spring. On the south side of our home where it gets pretty warm, I noticed much of the ground was covered with green growth already. Unfortunately, that green plant growth is weeds. Why can't all plants grow as good and fast as weeds? The cherry tree is ready to blossom, and the burning bush has buds all over it. The plants are just waiting for those warm days to explode into green and blossoms. The furnace has run enough. I am tired of paying high utility bills. It is getting old putting water in the humidifier daily. I am tired of snuggling under the covers at night to stay warm. Long sleeve shirts and coats have worn out their welcome. It is time for them to be put away for the summer. I hope I don't have to scrape my windshield again this spring. Did I forget any uncomfortable memories of winter? I am just waiting for those cold breezes to subside and the sun to come out and stay out. Then I can be outside among the exploding trees and bushes. I can plant the grapevines I purchased at Sam's Club. These are the vines that are sitting in the den and drying up. I wake up each day and think, is this the day that the weather changes and the beginning of warm weather? I am ready to endure the stuffy nose and burning red eyes that come with my normal springtime allergies. I may be impatient, but I'm ready for spring. Letter to me, March 29, 2012, Writing Group. Dear Tom, here it is March 29, 2012. You recently turned 70 and you are relatively healthy and in a good situation. If in 5 years you are no longer among the living, you will not be reading this letter. However, if you are still alive, you can then compare this speculation with the actual facts after 5 more years of life. First, you are becoming in the age where health problems may become a factor in your life. You must remember that your parents started to experience health problems during this time of their life and neither of them lived beyond 75. Hopefully you may live longer than them because of medical advances and lifestyle changes. Of course, there is always the unknown factor of genetics. Next subject is your financial situation. Today you are okay. Inflation is small according to the government. However, as you know, your everyday expenses increased 13% last year, and this is much more than the 3.6% the government tried to tell us, and that inflation is in check. In the next 5 years you will see inflation go rampant. It is just a matter of time that we will have to pay for all that money the Federal Reserve is continually injecting into the market. The value of the dollar is continually dropping and the good old buck is just not buying as much as it used to. In 5 years, you may be very concerned that you may outlive your financial plans. When you retired 5 years ago, you planned on living close to 90. Your plans may not reach your expectations. Finally, in the next 5 years you will still have a fulfilling life with your wife and best friend Dee. She is the best thing that has ever happened to you in your 70 years. She will continue to be by your side and you, and she will have many more adventures. Enjoy her and all your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. They are a gift from God that is to be cherished for all time. In 5 years, look at and compare what happened and didn't. Sincerely yours, Tom Trelor. My father, May 31, 2012, Writing Group. What do I remember about my father? I guess I will start from the beginning. Since I was raised in a family where the mother took care of the house and family chores and the father worked and provided income for the family, the first thing that comes to mind is waiting for my dad coming home from work. In good weather, my brother and I would wait outside on the front yard and wait to see him drive up the street. Naturally, at that time we were too young to tell time and would rely on our mother to tell us when it was time to go out and greet him. He would pull into the driveway and we were very happy to see him. He always left for work before we got up, so we never see him leave. Another thing I remember is in the evening my dad would read the newspapers from cover to cover. The Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News were being printed at that time. Dad would spend most the time reading the papers every evening. I always wondered what he saw so interesting in those papers. He would even read the classified section. Of course, this was before the distractions available today. The TV was black and white and only 4 or 5 channels were available. No internet, no cell phones, no TV games or any of the other distractions. I never saw him read a book though. Dad worked at Gates Rubber Company near S. Santa Fe and Mississippi Ave in Denver, which was not very far from where we lived. He was called the garage supervisor. In today's terms, I would speculate that he would be called the transportation manager. He was in charge of all the vehicles at the plant and was responsible to see that the vehicles were running and maintained. As time went by, Gates Rubber Company made the decision to open up a factory in Tennessee. This necessitated that a fleet of semi-trucks be maintained. My dad then became responsible for a fleet of 18 over-the-road trucks. With that, the pressure mounted. He was on call 24 hours a day and would get calls from truckers that broke down in many states. All of a sudden, this job that he used to love became overwhelming. My dad started to change and you could see the pressure of the job on his face and actions. Dad stayed on the job until after I finished high school. He and my mother decided that it would be best that he left Gates Rubber Company. I can speculate that if he did not leave, he would have died of a heart attack caused by all the stress of the job. He did have a minor heart attack somewhere when I was going to junior high school. I don't really know what age he was at the time. I would guess somewhere in his 50s. After Gates Rubber Company, Dad had many jobs and never really found one that he could make a new career out of. Dad was Dad. He provided a roof over our head and food on the table. He always came home in the evening, and my mother never had the fear of him being unfaithful. For the first 15 years of my life, my grandmother, my mother's mother, lived with us. I never heard my dad complain about this situation. Therefore, I must give him credit for providing and tolerating another person around where he could have very easily rejected the responsibility. Why my grandmother lived with us instead of one of her other 6 living children, I do not know why. I guess my mother and father assumed the responsibility and the other brothers and sisters just took advantage on the situation. Dad was basically good to my brother and me. Sometimes I feel he displayed the authority figure more than being a father. In other words, it was difficult to get close to him in many ways. I am sure he loved us as much as I loved him. Dad died in March of 1985 from a heart attack in California while visiting his niece. He was 75 at the time. Life-changing moments, September 27, 2012, writing group. The easiest moment to remember is the one that recently happened to me, and that is when Dee was seriously ill. This was a time where my outlook on our relationship changed dramatically. Before this event, I never thought about my life without Dee. I must admit that I took our relationship for granted and never even thought about life without her. I have always thought that Dee would more than likely outlive me, since that is the usual case. During the 10 days when she was in the hospital, I would sit there many hours watching her struggle. This gave me lots of time to reflect on the possibility of not being able to continue our lives together. This gave me many hours to reminisce on all the wonderful times we have had together and how so much I wanted to continue with our story. Since Dee came home from the hospital, my outlook has changed, and I do not take our relationship for granted as much as I did before this event. I treasure our times together now, knowing that these times may end sooner than I anticipated. All my life I consider anything that happens to me as a teaching moment. I try to find the lesson I need to learn in every event of my life. I have attempted to analyze this event, and I have come to the conclusion that life is to be treasured, and the life you have become so accustomed to may come to a halt when you may not expect it. Make the most of your experience and the time spent with all that cross your path of life. I don't know if anybody can see the change in me or if this change shows in my outward appearance. I do know I have changed in my heart and soul. As I am aging, I am recalling other experiences in my life and attempting to find the lesson I should have learned. The most important lesson I have learned in my life is to be honest with myself. How microwave ovens saved my life, January 31, 2013, writing group. I am trying to remember when the microwave oven came into my life. As I remember, it was somewhere in the middle 80s. At that time, I was working for RCA Distributing Corporation, and a sideline product was the Sharp microwave oven. This was the first microwave that had a revolving table to evenly heat the food. Since this was relatively new, the company would have microwave cooking classes, and I would help the teacher set up and aid her doing odd tasks, such as coffee, serving snacks, and cleaning up. The only reason I had this job is because I was a salaried person and they did not have to pay me overtime. I did enjoy helping though, therefore, don't get the impression I was complaining. The kitchen in my life has never been my favorite room in the house. When I was young, my mother and grandmother did all the cooking and the meals were placed in front of me, and all I had to do was eat. After the meal, my mother and grandmother cleaned up. There was some advantage to having 2 females in the house. Both of them had to be kept busy. One of the bad sides is I never really learned very much about cooking. So here it is in the late 40s and I am going through a divorce, and all of a sudden, I have to start cooking for myself. I consider myself very fortunate that I did not poison myself. At that time, I lived in an apartment and I hated coming home from work and trying to figure out what to cook and eat by myself. I couldn't afford to eat out much, therefore for survival I had to learn how to cook. Retirement Ramblings WordPress June 16, 2024. Retirement is a highlight in one's life. You work many years, and the goal is to retire in comfort and enjoy your remaining years. Retirement is one of the American dreams that can come true. It takes some planning and saving to reach the goal. Also, it takes a little luck for all the cards to fall in place so that retirement can happen. Since I retired 18 years ago, I will share what I did to help me live comfortable in retirement. First, I made sure all my credit cards were paid off. The only balances I had in credit cards were monthly expenses and they were paid off totally every month. I inquired what my Social Security monthly amount would be, and the small pension amounts we would receive after retirement. Reviewed the condition of the vehicles, seeing how many years they would last before replacement. Then, made a tentative budget seeing if our retirement income would cover the necessary expenses. Every month, entertainment items such as trips and vacations would come out of savings. The decision was made to retire and hope our finances would last longer than us. Everything was doing okay until the financial crash of 2008. At that time, our portfolio showed unrealized losses to be over one half of our portfolio. The decision had to be made to sell the stocks and change the unrealized losses to realized losses. Since I didn't need the money, I elected to keep the stock until the value of the investment returned to the purchase price and then sell. We didn't make any money, but we didn't lose any either. It took about 7 years to finally regain all our original investments. These were scary times, and the decision were made to pull out the stock market completely and just invest in secure investments. I was just becoming too old to live with that stress and insecurity. We have been okay financially since. As you become older, health issues tend to hamper retirement plans. The vacations and trips appear to be shelved because of health issues. We have had over 18 years of comfortable retirement and feel very fortunate to have these years. Hopefully we will have many more. Germany and England WordPress June 18, 2024. In the middle 60s, compliments of the US Army, I spent approximately 15 months in Germany. I was stationed at Merrill Barracks in Nuremberg and Cambrai Frischkaserne at Darmstadt. This was during the Cold War era and there were around 500,000 US military in European countries. During that time, I was able to do some traveling around the area, visiting Munich, Frankfurt, and a trip to Switzerland. All in all, it was a good experience in spite of being in the army. It has been over 60 years since that time, and I would like to see what that area looks like now. I am sure that area has changed quite a lot, and I would not recognize the area. Another area I would like to visit is the lower area of England. My dad's roots are from Cornwall, England, back in the 1530s. It would be interesting to see something about the area my ancestors came from. I had a DNA test and found out that 50% of me is from Germany, 40% from England, and 10% from other European areas. This is just a dream I have. Since I am well into my seasoned years, I kind of doubt that this dream will ever come true. Cold snow and ice writing group. When I was young, I used to enjoy the cold snow and ice. I remember spending hours out in the snow and I would come in with freezing hands and feet. The sun off the snow was so bright it would take a long time for my eyes to acclimate to the inside lighting. No wonder I had to have cataracts removed at a younger than normal age. The older I get, the more I do not appreciate cold and snow. Now it is a job to get out in the cold and snow. Since I have retired, it does not take much of an excuse to stay in away from that dreaded snow and ice. For 45 years or more I had to fight the weather to get to work. Now I don't need to. Sure, there are many things I like during cold and snow. One is a nice furnace that keeps me warm and toasty. A warm blanket comes second on my list of things I like. Now, to be serious, I do like Christmas music as long as they don't start playing it in the middle of November. I do enjoy the children's Christmas services. The smiles and joy you see on the children is priceless. Summer vacation September 26, 2013 writing group. Our summer started in April when Dee and I took a trip to Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia for 10 days. As usual, the trip started with bad weather. I made arrangements for Super Shuttle Company to pick us up on the morning of our flight out of Dia. On the evening before, they called and informed us that because of the bad weather they would not fulfill their obligation. They would credit our credit card for the shuttle fee. Here we were with plane fare and no way to get out to the airport. I decided the best way to get there was drive by myself. I did not want to pay a small fortune staying at the airport parking lot for 10 days and started researching outlying parking areas. I found one that I thought would fit our needs and reserved a spot. Our plane was not to leave until about 10 in the morning, but with the bad weather we did not know how long it would take to get to the airport. To be safe, we left around 5 in the morning. And it only took about an hour and a half to get to Dia. By the time we went through security and check, and we only had a little over an hour before flight time. Therefore it worked out pretty good. The flight was non-stop to Philadelphia, and once in the air the trip was pretty calm. We stayed at the downtown Sheraton Hotel in Old Philadelphia. It was a nice hotel near the bay. I think it was a bay or maybe it was a river. Anyway, it was nice to walk around after dinner and view some of Philadelphia history. The next day we spent the day going to Philadelphia historical sites. We visited Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, and other sites that escapes my mind at this time. On the next day we traveled to Washington, D.C. with a stop in Baltimore, Maryland for lunch and a stop to the USS Constellation ship. The East Coast is covered with history. After that visit we continued to Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C. we stayed in a hotel a block away from the White House. No, we were not invited to be guests at the White House. After a couple of days in D.C. we then continued to Arlington Cemetery and Washington's home, Mount Vernon. One of the most memorable events was visiting the monuments at night on the National Mall in Iowa Jima Monument. I was surprised at the number of tourists on the mall at night. These national monuments are light up at night and are very beautiful. Continuing on, we went to Colonial Williamsburg for the next leg of our time. This was interesting history, and you never have enough time to see all the sights. The trip is almost over and many memories are filled in your suitcase of life. This is the second time we have made the trip, and you continue to find new sights and adventures in these areas of American history. I put together a book on the trip listing more items of the trip than I have listed here. Mark Story of Queenslander Tours made a deal with me that I write a book about the trip, and all I would have to pay for was D's trip and plane fare. I got the trip free. It sounds like a good deal, but I don't know whether if I would take him up on the deal again if he offered it. For some reason it was difficult to motivate myself to finish the book. The trip was in April and I finally finished the book in August. When something is like work, it takes all the fun out of it. Optimistic about accomplishment. October 24, 2013 Writing Group. For the last 6 years I am optimistic about the adventure of the days of retirement. The best thing I have found about retirement is the loss of stress. After 45 years of working in a stressful environment, this lack of stress is a welcome change, and I am really enjoying this age of my life. Prior to this era, many times I would suffer digestive events that were, in my opinion, just a result of stress. In the last 6 years I have had very few of these events, and I attribute it to the loss of that stress in my life. Here I am 71 years old and I have no bypasses, stents, artificial joints, or chemotherapy. The only medical events in my life have been two cataract replacements, pneumonia somewhere in the 90s, and just everyday common colds and flus. Therefore, I am optimistic about my health. I try to maintain a routine of physical activity during the week. In a normal week I go to the Englewood Recreation Center for 30 minutes of active exercises. In the last year I discovered the rowing machine and found out this exercise helps relieve me of my belly fat. I am able to continue building up the distance I am able to row in 10 minutes. When I first started with this exercise, rowing 1,500 meters was a big effort. Now I am able to exceed over 1,800 meters with energy to spare. This reduction in belly fat has been a good thing. I thought my physical struggling was an age factor, and come to find out it was just that fat pushing on my internal organs. Therefore, I guess I could say I am optimistic about my continuation of physical exercise. Enough said about optimism, the more difficult subject is what kind of events do I want to have in my remaining years? As of tonight, I cannot really think of any burning desire to experience anything. I have no desire to jump out of an airplane or take any dangerous or perilous activity. I would like to see other parts of the world, but I do not consider them a priority. Unfortunately, I am at the age where the mind wants to travel and then the body comes along and says you had better think twice before you attempt your dream. It would be nice to have a brand new home for once in my life. However, I am not going to lose any sleep over it, because I know that it more than likely will never happen. I am sure there are experiences that I would like to happen that does not involve monetary or physical assets. If the night goes on, I am sure I can put these on paper. I consider myself very fortunate on what I have had and the experiences in my life. My life has been full and rewarding. I would like to experience many more years with D and our family before it is time for me to close the book of my life. Mustache, beard, or clean shaven. February 5, 2015 Writing Group. Throughout my life I have had been clean shaven or with a mustache or beard. Obviously in my younger years I had no choice. Then puberty came and these strange things started sprouting on various parts of my body. It seems like this hair came all of a sudden. One day it was not there and the next day I noticed it. This will just be a tale about my facial hair. I don't remember what age I was when the bristle started showing up on my face. I would speculate it was sometime near 14, 15 years of age. I do remember my dad giving me an old electric razor of his and him telling me I should start using it. I remember using it until I was drafted in the army. I was clean shaven all my life until sometime in the 70s. During the 70s my employer, RCA, was having some kind of Western theme where you could grow a mustache or beard. I decided to grow a mustache at the time and have had a mustache since. I cannot remember why I did not also grow a beard at that time. After having a mustache I kind of liked it and have kept it most of my remaining years. For some reason, which slips my mind now, in the late 80s I decided to grow a beard. It was only 2-3, or 4 years that I kept a beard. I didn't really like a beard. There is more to a beard than meets the eye. To keep it nice looking it takes some maintenance and grooming. So I decided to shave off the beard. However, I did keep the mustache for the time being. Then some years following I wondered how I would look without a mustache. This possibly could have been the time I retired. Anyway, I shaved off the mustache. What a mistake. I didn't like my upper lip at all. I suddenly realized why I had a mustache for all these years. It did not take me long to go back to the mustache me. Since then I have thought about growing another beard. There have been times that I start, but as the days go by I cannot get past the scrounge feeling and looks. Plus my wife is not in favor of it. In conclusion, I will more than likely have a mustache the rest of my life and no beard. Weather memory March 5, 2015 writing group. The snowstorm I remember in my childhood days happened before I turned 5. My parents had their home built in 1941 and the storm occurred somewhere in the middle 40s. Now that time period is over 60 years ago and my memory of this event is not that terrific. What I do remember is that the storm started the night before and the wind was blowing very hard. I guess you could call it a blizzard. The most I remember was what happened the following day. I remember my dad opening the front door and the lower half of the door had snow piled against it. He went into the garage to get the snow shovel and started to dig out from the snow. Fortunately, the snow was just drifted against the door and it was not that deep throughout the front yard. After a period of time my dad was able to shovel the snow to the street. My mother, brother, and grandmother stayed in the house until he shoveled us out. Then we were allowed to go out and see the aftermath of this blizzard. Walking out to the street we could see that for some reason the snow drifted between our house and our neighbor's house to the north of us. I would guess that there was about 20 feet separating the two houses. For some reason the snow blew off our neighbor's house and settled between the two houses. This snow was the height of the roofs. The entire north side of our house was buried and the neighbor's south side was buried. There was no way they could have gotten out of their back door. On our north side was the bedrooms and the bathroom and all you could see from the windows was snow. For some strange reason these phenomena did not happen on the south side of our house. Our neighbor's house south of us was about the same distance from us as the north side but the snow did not drift like it did north of us. I will never forget this snowstorm. In my growing years there were other serious blizzards but the snow never drifted between the two houses like this memorable blizzard did. I do remember playing in the snow and digging tunnels through the drifts until we turned into popsicles. My grandma Schuler April 9, 2015 writing group. My grandma Schuler was my mother's mother. She was a part of the family picture since she lived with us from the time my parents built their home in 1941 until she passed away when I was 15 years old. Grandma was a German immigrant and migrated from Germany when she was 7 years old. Since she died in 1959 at the age of 82 I would guess she migrated to the US around 1890 give or take 10 years. I never heard much about why she migrated and even if she came with any other relative. I never heard her talk about her parents or any family relative, so it is a mystery who or how she came to the US at the age of 7. All I ever heard was that she came from Bavaria and that is a large region of Germany. Grandma did marry and had 14 children with her husband Lorenzo. About half of these children died in childbirth or at a young age. Grandma and Lorenzo lived in Minnesota most of their marriage years. Lorenzo had asthma bad and the doctor suggested that they come to a drier climate. And that is why they moved to Denver. A couple of years after the move to Denver, Lorenzo died, and left Grandma with a bunch of kids to raise. She had no formal education and just learned English after she migrated to America. At that time there was very little assistant programs, and as soon as the boys and girls were able to work, they went to work and helped support the family. All Grandma ever said was that she scrubbed floors to support and raise the family. My mother had to quit school when she was in the 7th grade and had to help provide for the family. Many years of Grandma's life was tough. When I was growing up, Grandma was always around. There are times when I think Grandma was more influential in my raising than my mother. We lived in a small 2-bedroom house with my parents using one bedroom and Grandma using the second. I slept with Grandma until I was 10 or so. My brother slept on a roll-away bed they put up in the dining room every night. As time went by, my parents made a bedroom out of the garage, and then my brother and I got our own bedroom. What a luxury that was. I remember Grandma sitting and reading the Saturday Evening Post and Life magazine. All the time she would read, she would rub her left arm with her right hand. Now I wonder if there was some pain in that arm or if it was just a habit. As Grandma aged, stress became a factor in her life. Christmas cards were very stressful. Grandma would fret and stew about her Christmas card list, and she would worry that she forgot to mail a card to someone. One Christmas she worried so much about those cards she actually made herself sick. As I age, I am beginning to notice that stress is beginning to affect me also. I just cannot deal with stress like I was able to in my younger years. Grandma was an important part of my life, and I will always love her.
That's it for this issue. Hope to see you next issue. Have a nice day.